Hello and welcome to VG Club. My name is Paul, aka Daxter23Jack. Today I am joined by Chris.
Hey, that's me.
Grace.
I'm back.
You are indeed. And Hobby?
Recor.
And Cool Luck, aka
Marcus. Yep, Cool Luck on Twitter. Hey, y'all.
And yeah, as Javi said, we are going to be discussing the game Recor today. Came out back in, what, 2016?
2016.
Something like that.
Which time did it come out then?
September. Just that we are coming up on its fifth anniversary.
I would have guessed it was older than that.
Oh.
And I was doing a little bit of research before the podcast started. Do you guys want to guess what these developers are known for?
Wasn't it Metroid Prime and Sonic or something like that?
Gotcha. Games.
Mega Man.
I mean,
No,
sure.
Mega Man would be good. No, it's more Mighty Number 9. So that's kind of the developer we're dealing with.
That's Concept. So they're Concept, Armature, and Asobo. Asobo is the Microsoft Flight Sim and a Plague Tale developers.
Okay.
More recently, Armature is they broke off of what's the Metroid Prime developer, Javi?
Retro.
Yeah, they broke off of Retro and Concept is the Japanese developer Kenji Inafune, Mega Man fame, who did Mighty Number 9. So there's a bunch of people on this.
Okay, yeah, no. Armature has a better reputation. A lot of ports, but good ports at the very least.
Yeah.
But came out in 2016. I've literally bought that for Black Friday of that year and had it in shrink wrap for almost the past 5 years. I haven't really had a reason to play it until, God, who was it that recommended it? Was it
that was me.
Chris? Yeah.
Yep, I'm sorry.
Thanks, Chris.
Okay, so yeah. Yeah, with that, does anybody want to give a synopsis of the plot?
What plot?
There's a plot? Sure, I will try and break it down. Earth's gone to shit, so we send out an advanced team to terraform a new home for us. And we wake up as Jewel, and Jewel has where is everybody? And the world has kind of been populated by robots that are attacking, and yeah, that's kind of it.
She also hasn't read any sci-fi stories at all. She's like, what? Robots turning against us? Even her father's just like, I would design the core system. So that they wouldn't rebel against us. It's just like,
mess that up.
Oh, go ahead, Grace.
I didn't say anything.
Oh, okay. I thought I saw your mic flash. So yeah, not much of a existing story. I was playing this, and part of me was just like, the beginning was reminding me of Xenoblade Chronicles X, and part of me is like, I kind of wish I was playing that game right now.
Yeah, something about Recor that, I'd be interested to hear sort of what the budget was for the game, because it feels like a game that had grander aspirations than it was able to deliver on. And that sort of extends to, you know, the graphics that we got, the amount of game that we got, and so much as the lack of repetition. And even the plot feels like, hey, yeah, we were doing a plot, and then oh shoot, we gotta just pump this game out, let's wrap it up, I guess. So much of this game feels like it had more promise than we ended up getting, and I think that's what made it a more frustrating experience than just outright playing a bad game through and through.
Yeah, if I recall correctly, it came out at a $40 price point.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
In some of the reviews, they talked about how it has its issues, but at this price, it might be good for you. So, yeah, I think it was cheaper.
Yeah, so go ahead, Javi.
Oh, I was just going to say, like, it seems like everybody's super down on the game. And to be fair, I didn't spend enough time with it. I didn't finish it. I didn't spend enough time with it to, I guess, get sick of it. But I really like it. I think that it's very simple. It feels old school. It feels like a PS2 game, as I saw a lot in the reviews for it. But in this day and age, I find that kind of refreshing and charming. I like the simplicity of just locking on and firing and then switching the color of your weapon and having the dog periodically attack and then pulling out the core. Like that whole thing feels like they weaved a fishing mini game into, like, to finish off the encounters, and trying to pull that off while other enemies are all around you is kind of exciting. But I could totally see, like I said, I didn't get to especially the last boss. I saw a lot of you tweeting about that, that gets really, really frustrating. So, and I could totally see that.
You get to, out of curiosity, Javi.
So I finished up the first area, and then I got past the what's that big pit? It's like a jet engine in the ground, and you have to walk around.
Quarry.
Yeah,
a quarry.
Yeah, I got to the other side of that and started out in that area.
Did you get the second or third robot?
The second one. I got the second.
Okay, you got the climbing one.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't get much farther than that, so I'm glad I wasn't the only one who didn't finish it. I got to right after you're separated from Kai, and you have to go the other way around to get to the Tower of Eden.
Hmm.
I would have known y'all weren't gonna finish it, then I wouldn't have bothered finishing it or trying to finish it. I didn't actually finish. I got to the last boss.
I wanted to finish it. I was actually putting in as much time as I could this week, but things have been really crazy.
I'm just messing around.
Oh no, but you've got a new house. They're moving stuff in between, probably doing some remodeling, right?
Yeah, we're trying to like redo the entire top floor before we move in, and it's kind of like a race against time because the longer we take, the more we're paying two mortgages at the same time. So yeah, it's kind of like stressful as hell to get as much done as we can. But yeah.
No, as I was telling Chris earlier, I completely spaced and I thought we had another day, so I was gonna try and finish it up today. I originally started, like, when I played the game, I was really down on it. I ran into like two or three bugs, one of which was game breaking to the point where I had to restart the system because I died near Jolie's crawler after an hour in the game. Like, I had gone to the next area with the where the sandstorm happens, and then I had gone back and I died, and then it spawned me in the beginning area, and I was just like, oh, okay, that's annoying, but I'll just go through the intro caves. And one of the doors just locked, so I couldn't get through that door at all. So yeah. I had to restart the game completely.
That sucks.
Yeah.
And then I ran into once or twice. I ran into a bug that took away my ability to shoot, and I had to teleport to a bunch of places. And after I teleported to my ship, it finally started working again. But yeah, you can tell this was a budget title.
Well, I have a question. What platforms did everybody play on?
PC.
I played on Xbox.
And Daxter?
I played it on Xbox One, like one of the originals. So that's probably where some of my problems were, but...
Gotcha. Yeah, I was Series X.
And so on the Series X, it's still just playing... like the original,
just playing the Xbox One game. Yeah, it's the definitive edition or whatever. Okay. Now
it's definitive edition. It has an FPS boost, and I think it has auto HDR, which I don't think is working right because the sand looked a little weird. Like, it looked a little detailless, but I maybe for those of y'all who weren't playing on Series X, you could weigh in if that's just the way it looked for everyone.
I think that might just be how it looks, where like the ground, it's sand, but it's like bleached white, like solid white.
Yeah.
I played on PC, Definitive Edition, max settings. And I mean, to be clear, I started it on Xbox, on my series, or not series, Xbox One S. And I was just like, God, this frame rate is chugging. It looks kind of jaggy. Everything, I don't know, it was just really ugly to my eyes. And then I tried it out on Steam, and it's like, here we go, I can run it on wide, like absolute, like super wide screen on my big wide monitor. Everything looked really clean and clear. It was just like such a huge bump for me. So
8K,
yeah, I guess. I don't know, probably not. but yeah, no, on PC it's much better, at least from what I experienced.
Go ahead, Marcus.
I was just going to ask Javi if you have an SSD, because the loading with the Series X was great, but like you could tell that it was loading a lot. So I would wonder if, like, yeah, you, Paul, if your your time loading and fast traveling between places just to try to get it to work was an even longer and like painful experience.
It was definitely cringeworthy at times. I'd be like, okay, I'm at a loading screen, might as well go to the bathroom or refill on water.
Oh man.
Pretty bad.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't like too long, but think like 40 seconds.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, so I did still get load screens on PC, but it wasn't that long. Not enough to that I noticed, like, wow, these are really long load times.
Yeah, it's the same for me. I also have an SSD.
Yeah.
At the very least, like, there's like the game has like maybe like 6 or 7 like quote unquote major hub areas, and then they've got dungeons. So usually, you know, once you get loaded in, you don't have to load anything else for that part of the level. So you can go the next like 15-20 minutes without loading.
Yeah, I think that this game, like we've all been kind of alluding to, like this game has the right, I don't know, like it's going for something, and you can see what it's going for. I don't think it executed on it as well as it could have. I really love when it opens up and it's like, you're, it's like, okay, here's where we kind of want you to go, but clearly you don't have enough cores for it. But there are all these dungeons that you can discover and then go into and check out all their objectives and take your time kind of knocking those out and collecting these cores. I'm like, okay, that's a really interesting and semi open-ended way to structure your game. Like, that sounds cool. Like, I would be into a game like, and all, especially with all the platforming that's kind of baked into it. I really, really like the double jump and then dash. And the way that it challenges you to space them out to make it across really difficult gaps. I don't know. I'm really into that kind of stuff, even though it's super simple. There's only like 3 things to do, but
yeah, really good puzzle platforming, I think. Like some really good design on that. Like there's some really bad design in some of the, especially in maybe like the final area, which is like these, it's this 5-level tower, but. Go ahead, Grace.
You're saying the tower, and I said every 5 seconds there's an arena.
Yeah, that I think, and that might be like what the problem is with the tower is that like you're going through, and there's these really cool like platforming sections that are long and nicely put together, and then it's like we're gonna throw you into this slog of a battle that has like 4 or 5 waves, and it just kind of kills the flow. Where there's these little dungeons that Javi was talking about are, you know, it's like, here you go, here's your shot. And some of them have like, what, it's like 3 different objectives. I think it's like hit the different switches, do it in a certain amount of time. And I guess like, there's like another one too.
The yellow thing. Core.
Yeah. And then like they eat, and like, you don't know where the extra core is either in there. Like it could be in any of those 3. So you kind of want to hit them all, but then it gives you a reason to replay it.
It feels virtually impossible to knock out all 3 in your first try.
Yeah.
Like, how are you going to find the secret core and all these other things you need to find and shoot and do it under the time. Like, so you might as well just take your time on the first try and try to map it all out. But that is kind of, I'm not too big a fan of having to complete all three of them together at once. If they just kept it to, you can focus on one objective and then the other and then the other, and then you can clear out the dungeon that way, that'd be great. As it is, they kind of require you to memorize every aspect of the dungeon in order to do it efficiently.
Yeah, be perfect. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But as long as, like, so basically, the way it's structured, you get to the end and you've got this treasure room where you've got three gates. And if you've fulfilled all three objectives, in the middle, there's this platform that was previously shielded by a force shield. And you can go in there, but as long as it's not like a core, I mean, honestly, I felt justified just ignoring it, being like, okay, well, I got the cores for this, I'm out.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's fair enough. And I guess, Javi, going back to the doing all three at once, something that I found, because, you know, as you progress through the game and where the money runs out and they throw you into the tower, they'll gate off parts of the tower, like the higher bits, by cores. And at that point, unless you've been actively going to all these side ones, you're not going to have enough cores. I was short like 13 cores when I got to that point. So I went back to the old dungeons, went scrounging through. And at that point, you have enough orbs from the rest of the game to upgrade your weapon so that you can get through those things pretty quickly, because all the bots at those levels, they go down pretty fast. So yeah. I wonder if the intent on their part wasn't for you to sort of beat your head against the wall to try and get it all down your first time through, or it's just there for you to come back later when you actually are more appropriately leveled for it.
Yeah, I think that was definitely the intent, because like the first dungeon I went to, the yellow, I'm assuming the yellow core, that the secret one, was inaccessible for me at the time, because I didn't have the second version of Mac the dog, so I couldn't climb up the wall to go up there.
That's like, actually your spider friend,
or the spider. Yeah. So that wasn't it was clear that, like, that's gotta be where the secret thing is, and maybe the final switch, because I couldn't find one of the switches you have to shoot. I'm like, okay, you're supposed to come back here. There's no way I can do this right now.
And that way it's kind of set up a little bit like Metroid, like where sure. It's like, here's these, we're going to give you these things later. And because there's things that we want you to return to. So like, as you go through the game, you get the spider creature just lets you go up like certain, like, you know, train track type things, and then you get the big brute type, the gorilla one,
and then the steam jumps, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And then actually there's another it's a bot core, I guess, which is like a bot form. It doesn't have its own personality, but you can put like Mac or one of the other ones into it. And it's like the little helicopter thing.
Mm-hmm. And the tank too, right?
Oh, yeah, and the tank, yep. Yeah, the tank one's pretty cool. It's like, you fly across the land on that.
It wasn't always working for me, though. Because, yeah, I found the same thing. Because one of my gripes with the game was just trying to get from point A to point B to take a lot longer than I felt it needed to, because there weren't enough fast travel points. And so when I got the tank, I was like, oh, sweet, like, this is the solution. But then it wouldn't always activate, like, wouldn't let me always ride them. And I'm like, all right, well, I guess I'll walk. And so I just assumed that maybe it was only for certain areas of the game. I don't know what happened there. Or, you know, it's one of the 4,000 bugs that was left in this thing.
I think it's just finicky, like, or it's like, oh, I don't want you to work right now. And then if you tried it, like, maybe like at a different angle or something, it might have given it to you. It has some issues.
Yeah. So just a curiosity question. What would you guys define this as, like, genre wise? Like, would you define it as a shooter, platformer, adventure? What?
Action-adventure for me.
Yeah. I think, unfortunately, most games, even though they can be radically different, most games fall into the action-adventure genre. I think with the descriptors of, like, platformer and maybe shooter, but that doesn't really... It's not really a shooter. It's kind of like an old-school kind of lock-on and pull the trigger kind of shooter.
Yeah, so, I mean, like, earlier you mentioned some reviews kind of compared it to a PS2 title, and
yeah.
I don't necessarily view that as a bad thing, but it's kind of funny because like I was drawing a lot of parallels between this and Jack 2. Obviously, no Grand Theft Auto elements, but just in terms of the guns, like you had a red, a blue, and a yellow gun in the, that game too, and it was basically half platformer, half shooter.
Yeah. Although I think the shooting and... my cat knocked my controller off my desk. Sorry about that. I think ReCore is a better shooter than Jak and Daxter was. Because if I recall correctly, Jak and Daxter had a lot of just point, like look towards your enemy and pull the trigger. I don't remember like a really good lock-on system.
Oh, yeah. No. This is much more... this is smoother to play. It just has a worse story.
Yeah. Sorry, my cat just typed a bunch of crap on the chat.
I like the color coding, because like sometimes they would throw multiple types of enemies at you, so you have to like you try and clear one with like your red gun, and then you switch quickly to your blue to get the green enemy that popped up behind you.
Yeah, and there's something like really I found it really satisfying that the animation of ripping the core out and catching it. Just like, especially when you have those enemies where like it'll prompt you that you can instantly pull the core out, like so you just turn to a guy, rip it out, go to the next one, rip it out, and then you sick the dog on another one and you're chipping away at its health bar. Like I think there's a really satisfying combat flow at times as long as the enemies aren't like getting cheap shots on you.
Yeah, I'd agree there. You know, everything always goes back to the tower with this game. And in those arenas, because I didn't use all my orbs immediately, so I was having to sort of beat my head against the wall on those a lot. You start to get into a rhythm that I feel like I see in a lot of more like contemporary games where, you know, all right, I'm expecting yellows to pop up here. I'm going to focus on this one. I get my instant. I can use it on that other one. Use the specials in the meantime on the middle. Like I was trying to plot out exactly what I was going to do each wave. And to an extent, that was like satisfying when it would work out. And like you said, we'd get that instant just when you needed it. It saves you because the instant also fills up your health, which is another one of the combat arenas sort of gimmicks where they're always taking away health in some of them. And so like when that all worked, it worked great. I think the issue again goes back to the sort of design of the game where in a lot of those areas, okay, well, you messed up in the last wave. It's time to start over. And so to do that over and over again just felt real repetitive, and it sort of takes the luster out of the whole combat experience.
Yeah, I don't know why games do that. Like that's not fun for anyone.
And so Marcus, I think it's only you and I and Grace that got to that, the final boss, right?
Yeah.
That is maybe one of the worst final boss fights I've ever experienced.
It was actually easier than the rest of the game for me. The whole tower, way harder. The final boss, wow. I did it. Well, first I did it first try. I took out his core, but the game bugged out. And they're like, you weren't supposed to take out the core yet. And so I had to restart the whole thing. But then I just sort of did it again, and I got the cutscene that played at the end. I was like, oh, okay, well, this was surprisingly easy. I was expecting like another third or fourth form that was going to be crazy, but nothing like that happened. So I think I might have gotten lucky with that encounter.
Yeah, it felt really bullet spongy to me. It wasn't forever.
Time consuming. Like it's not hard to beat, it just takes forever.
I'm sorry, Grace, go ahead.
I was gonna say that's why I stopped, because like I died the first time I tried it, probably got him about halfway down. The second time I had him down to like probably like 10% health left, and then I died, had to start over, so I was just like, nope, I'm done.
Gotcha.
And it's so long to get to that, because like you're not doing a ton of damage. Like I had everything maxed out at that point, and it was like nothing's going down.
Right, wow. Exactly. That's why it's just like, I'm not doing this again.
I guess for me, like, I wasn't quite maxed out. Yeah, close. Like, a couple, like, some of the colors were maxed out when I was attacking. I guess maybe let me ask you all this. Who are your bots that you're using in the fight?
So when I was struggling with it, I was using the gorilla one. But I eventually switched to using the spider one, Seth. I think that's what his name was. And Mac. The dog, and that got me through, because Mac does that like rush attack.
Yeah.
And the spider guy like launches like stunning missiles at them. Whereas, like, the brute is, like, great because, like, he's tough and can eliminate enemies quickly, but he just wasn't, he wasn't giving me enough protection.
His special attack doesn't really seem that
Yeah. So for me, I switched Mac into the flying one that does the laser because Mac has really good energy stats. Mm-hmm. And so I was able to do stronger lasers than a lot of them. And then, yeah, I was also using the Gorilla. I don't know which core I had in the Gorilla, though. And I don't know if you all saw, too, that, like, the, each of the sort of robot types, they have, like, sort of rock, paper, scissors thing that they've got going with the enemies. And so that's why I focused on those two. I mean, partially, I needed the flying one just to get through the platforming sections of the tower, because it's like, oh, shoot, I didn't make the jump, like, as it intended. Let me just fly over there.
Mm-hmm. I had the spider one, Seth, and the gorilla, Duncan, and, like, because I use them for like 90% of the game because they're the only two that you like have to have for traversal or like getting into certain places or out of certain places even. Like I just kept them out for like the whole time. So I probably should have tried some other combinations, but I just didn't care enough.
Yeah, like Max use in the open world is just like to find those, like to find the stuff that's buried.
Oh god, yes, I hated that useful out there. Oh my god, every time I had to do that, I was rubbing my temples, just being like, come on.
I didn't even try that after the beginning. I completely forgot about that when I started getting the other core bots. I'm like, oh shoot, there might have been some stuff I just completely missed.
There's full-on cores just buried. Oof.
That might have made it easier to get to the tower, then.
Yeah.
But yeah, like I mean, I think something that really got to me when I was playing this game, I mean, I think it was kind of alluded to, but this was, in addition to being a budget game, this was also a Microsoft exclusive when it launched. Right before this, I was playing Psychonauts, and just kind of the accessibility, like the change in how they've been taking that seriously over the past 5 years has been like dramatic, because sometimes I would try to listen to those audio logs and I would be like, I can't hear these people. I literally like, I would turn up the volume and they would still be like, it just wouldn't come through. So I'd have to go to the log screen and be like, okay, that's what they're saying. That's what they're saying. And then of course, what is it? There's that robot Violet who's like documenting the revolution or whatever. And whenever they talk, it's just like,
that's impossible to hear. Yeah.
And I'm just like, why are you even playing this on a radio? It's just it's so bad. Couldn't you have at least just give us subtitles?
So I had subtitles for Violet. I don't know if that's a PC exclusive or.
Yeah.
For her audio recordings.
You like when you play them, like it wasn't just like like they're at the bottom. Like I had subtitles to tell you what she was saying.
Yeah, I didn't have those. I had to go into the logs menu to read like a transcription of the audio log in order to get any story.
I wonder if your game bugged out and subtitles just don't show up for some reason.
My subtitles showed up during like during gameplay and like during the cutscenes, but they didn't show up for the audio logs. I don't know if
that's what happened with me. Glad I'm not the only one.
Yeah, like I don't know if that's a bug, like you said, or if it's something you have to turn on.
With the speaking of the accessibility features, it just did anybody check? I mean, I don't think any of us are colorblind, but. Did anybody check if there were colorblind settings for this? Because it's a color-based shooter.
Yeah. I don't think they took that into account until like the last 5 years or so. I guess it's 5 years old, right? I can't believe this is 5 years old. That's really freaking me out. it feels like such an old game. But yeah. Was this an Xbox One game or a 360 game?
Xbox One.
That's crazy. This feels like a 360 game. I would have bet everything that this was a 360 game. Okay.
I think it probably would have been better received if it was a 360 game.
Yeah.
Like at $40 on the 360, like, yeah, it's not necessarily shovelware, but it, you know, it's a budget title that, you know, we were still getting in that era. They kind of disappeared last gen for the most part, starting to reappear now.
Yeah, now it feels like budget titles are $50, $60. So just adjusting to that new reality is going to take some time for me.
It's called Game Pass, my friend. Sure.
Often budget titles is referring to the budget of the game to make it, but not necessarily how much it costs to own it.
Right. So the way this game ends, it has a very clear, like, we wanted to make a sequel. You know, and the way things played out, yeah, that ain't happening. But if there was a sequel to come, what would you guys want from that? What do you think that could have been added to this game or tweaked in a sequel that would have made it a better experience for you?
Polish.
Get rid of the stupid Stillbot.
I mean, so like I said, I didn't complete the game, and from what the Wikipedia article I was reading, Javi, you don't mind spoilers, right?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, so yeah, basically, Victor knocked a lot of the ships that were hanging out in orbit out of the air, so there's not a lot of humans, if any humans, left, but honestly, I wanted more people to interact with. You only got Kai, and Kai is just really generic. It was just like, please just give me something else.
You forget Kai's leg.
Bruce's leg at you. Yeah, I honestly laughed when that happened. Oh, well, he's good.
Apparently he's still alive, just amputated the leg, but...
You know, the tone's kind of weird, right? Like, if the game's kind of painting this bleak, there's almost no humans left, and you're alone on this in this hostile environment with just all these killer robots and stuff. Like, I get that they want Mac to be like the adorable dog. This is a side note that I found Mac really unsettling because he looks like a human being pretending to be a dog, and it like his proportions are not dog proportions, they're like man proportions. But anyways, yeah, like the tone of the game is really, it's pretty lighthearted. Like I get a really strong T for teen vibe from it. Where like if they had gone a darker or even just more Metroid direction where it's like isolating and kind of sad, like I think that could have been a stronger way to go. But that just might be my personal taste.
No, I think I agree with you. Even though I kind of would have preferred more interactions, I would have preferred for them to just kind of pick a lane.
Yeah. Yeah. Like if the audio logs were kind of like of a world that's not around anymore, and it's just kind of like everything just has that sad vibe, and you're what remains. that could work.
That really makes me question like the design of like all the dungeons, and like especially the tower. Like Jewel actually mentions like, oh, what did Victor do to this place? Like, you have to think, like, did Victor spend all that time just like setting up all these obstacle courses and arenas and like Oh, you guys, we gotta set this up, and when the one or two humans that are left wake up, it's gonna be fun.
I think maybe it was just, you know, he got bored and was like, we're having the robot Olympics. That's what all those dungeons were for.
What was Victor's motivation, by the way? Was it standard, like, humans can't be trusted, or humans are gonna destroy this planet too, or...
I think he was just evil. Wanted all humans dead. I didn't think it went beyond that.
That's what I got out of it.
It's just I don't think it really goes into his motivations all that much. It's just like, he's bad. And he manipulated all the other core bots to attack the, you know, the maintenance crawlers and kill everybody. Somehow he missed, like, you know, Kai and Jewel.
In this game, maybe that's all we need.
For me personally, thinking about a sequel, I want a larger variety of environments. I feel like that was part of what added to that feeling of repetition, where a lot of areas looked pretty similar. Yeah, they'd add a couple different sort of environmental features and like crash ships that were going on, but nothing that was really too different. The tower was initially a welcome aspect of that, where it's like, oh, okay, this is definitely different. But then when it went on for five levels, less welcome. I would like the gunplay to be a little bit more advanced than it currently is. Everything that's been mentioned with the colors, I think is a great aspect of it, but I want them to build on that in some way. I would also hope that a new a new generation of consoles would be able to allow you to keep multiple members of your party at rather than having to switch between one bot at a time. I thought that also limited what you could do with the combat by only having one out there.
Where the hell was your other robot going? Like, it would just teleport away.
Yeah. He's
like,
come on.
It's like, I'm going to call you in now. Like, but how? How do you have this teleportation device?
Yeah.
And why don't I have that personally?
Like, they tag out. They've got worker mandated union breaks.
Yeah.
I seen the orbs are like Pokeballs.
I, Marcus, going building off of what you said with, like, you know, more kind of diverse, you know, environments. Yeah, I think I would like maybe some more biomes, like,
yeah,
because it was just like sand and canyons or caves, like, for the entire thing. Everything kind of looks the same. I would like to kind of see. Do you guys remember? I can't think of the name of it. It was a Capcom game, though. It took place in the ice.
Lost Planet.
And then they made Lost Planet 2, and it was like, you know, they changed Forest. It was like, I'd like to see that, like, build it out a little bit, give us like, hey, maybe you did finally set up the terraforming and now this world is built out and there's snow and forest and jungles and you know, your desert area. I think that would make it a little bit more interesting as opposed to just always being tan and brown.
Yeah, definitely. And yeah, also, and I mean, jump.
Oh, go ahead. Sorry.
Okay, sure. Also, going off what Marcus suggested, like with the gunplay, I think that, like, if you ended up having, like, let's say, three different types of weapons to work with, you had your typical machine gun, and then you could switch to a shotgun or a sniper rifle. Or maybe even like a heavy, like, I'm thinking about Destiny, how it's like you press triangle to switch to your secondary, and you hold triangle to switch to your heavy. Even that, like, would, you know, really, like, up the combat and, like, keep the colors, so, like, you swap to red and then now all of your weapons are red. But just having, like, that kind of diversity for combat and for different enemies, and you can kind of be a little bit more strategic about how far away you or close up you want to be. I think that would go a really long way, especially if the weapons felt good to use. Yeah,
just having an assault rifle for the entire game. It's like, oh, well, this was fun, I guess.
Yeah.
And I would say that as, like, not even, I guess, a more complex combat example, but as sort of an alternative example to this game, I feel like Journey to the Savage Planet sort of nails what this one was sort of going for in some of the, like, the platformy, Metroid-y aspects and sort of that progression up a big tower sort of thing much better. And so that sort of makes me sad that the company behind that, or the studio behind that game, is gone.
The studio behind this game, or the studio that did Journey to the Savage Planet?
Journey to the Savage Planet.
Okay, I completely missed over this. It came out in early 2020. Huh.
I don't even know what that game looks like.
Very colorful.
Really?
Kind of reminds me of a DreamWorks poster.
Let me look it up.
Like, basically all of my games, I bought it and haven't played it yet.
I'm looking up images, and there's one that has a hot garbage tagline on it.
Oh, yeah, I think that's one of the expansions they had.
Oh.
Oh, yeah. So I've seen this cover before for Journey to the Savage Planet, but I always thought it was like a Plants vs. Zombies, like, expansion or something, because it has like a similar.
Oh, no, the way it's often, I guess it felt like the way it was marketed almost felt like a survival game, but In actuality, it's much more just sort of like, I don't like the term Metroidvania either. I know there's been other terms that have been bandied about, but it's sort of that where you're like, hey, you're moving around this map. Hey, you get a new ability. Hey, that means this area unlocked and opened up. And in the same way, it's just like there's the orb equivalents that you're collecting along the way that power you up and give you new access to new areas. You have pretty basic combat with your weapon, just like this one, except, you know, again, there's a much higher focus on the platforming aspect of things, as well as sort of the puzzle solving and the way you attack some of these enemies. You know, some can only be hit by certain directions, some you have to do something to sort of open them up for vulnerability. And it also had a lot of optional content, I think even more so than this one. And a lot of that optional content felt a little bit more guided, where it would sort of push you in a direction to do it. But it wasn't, you didn't get to the end of the game. It's like, well, actually, you got to go do all that, most of that content anyways. Like, it wasn't actually optional. And there's a whole subplot through that optional combat that, like, when you can, like, just follow the story, and it actually gives you more information and more context of what's going on in this world. It's not as mysterious as it can be if you just mainline the main quest.
Yeah, this game is a looker. I need to check this out. It looks great.
Is that a first person or a third person game?
First person, I believe.
I don't know if any of you have played Returnal. We're kind of going off on a tangent, right? Returnal, to me, like, the way it plays and the tone of it, like, that is what I want Metroid to be. Like, I mean, it was really good. If Metroid wanted to go in that direction, I wouldn't be necessarily against it. But I'm just talking about traversal, the way it looks, just the world that you're in and how oppressive it is. Even, like, her suit has, like, two little thrusters on her back for her double jump, and, like, she has a dash. Like, I can just picture, like, if Returnal comes out on PC, somebody could make the coolest mod by making her into Samus, and it would totally work.
That's like a day one mod, right?
Yeah, that'd be great. But yeah, ReCore did remind me of Metroid, by the way. We're circling back to ReCore here. Just in in little ways. Like, even the very first boss that you fight is like a mini Metroid Prime. Metroid Prime is basically a big spider that changes colors, and you have to change your cannon to match it to do any damage. The first boss you fight in ReCore looks exactly like him and changes colors. I'm like, wow, this is funny. And then just, you know, going around and getting new abilities and doubling back and being able to access new areas, like, that's all very Metroid. And I think they leaned on that in the marketing at least a little bit. People from the Metroid Prime team were working on this, and you can kind of see it.
Yeah, I mean, I see Metroid and Mega Man here, right? Like, you know, I know you found the dog uncanny, like, and creepy with its and looking at the picture of the key art for it, it is weird, like, very weird looking. But, like, you know, Mega Man has his little doggy,
yeah,
you know, and that, and then all the,
Rocket,
the Metroid,
I think,
kind of stuff. I think
I'm
so.
Not sure. Yeah,
but yeah, it feels like a mashup of, like, Mega Man and Metroid in a way.
Rush, not Rocket.
I do get the Metroid references, like, the way it does feel kind of like Metroid, but to me it also kind of felt more like a Nintendo 64 platformer, because you have to get so many prismatic cores to open the door, you have to gather up
it's a collectathon. Yeah,
some Mario 64 stuff.
30 different ways to open a door besides just walking up to it.
All of these references make this game sound better than it is, though.
Yeah, I mean, like, that was the vibe I was getting. And I feel like originally when I was playing this game, I was not having a good time. And I gave it so many chances. I gave it, like, five or six. And around the sixth time, I finally started viewing it as more of a collectathon platformer with shooter elements, and that kind of helped me progress through the game, or enjoy progressing through the game a little more. But I'm not saying it's a great, you know, collectathon platformer, but I don't know, just that kind of element, I was just like, okay, I kind of got my head more in gear, as opposed to, like, a narrative driven a story with audio logs.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, I've, like, collectathon platformer is my favorite genre, right? Unfortunately, good ones of those are pretty few and far between. Like, you have your, you know, faithful Mario games that are always going to be at least good, if not great. But there's a lot of garbage out there, you know. I've bought many a mascot platformer to, like, hopefully recapture that, just even, like, a good experience of, like,
there's stuff to collect and you jump around on platforms. Like, I just love doing that. And I think that ReCore is either, I hesitate to say above average, but it's flirting with above average in terms of just like the things you can do with the mechanics it provides. I don't know. And obviously I didn't see it through to the end. Maybe it gets super redundant and you guys may not feel that way after spending the proper amount of time with it. But like, I really enjoyed the platforming and collect-a-thons element of it. Like I said about the dungeons, though, asking you to do all three of those things at once in one run is, I'm not a fan of that. But yeah, I mean, I think that had this game polished up a little bit more and just improved the quality of life while playing it, I think I could get really, really into it. Like, I enjoyed all of my time with it. I was having a really great time. I wish I had more to spend with it, though.
I mostly liked it, too. I know I've, like, you know, thrown some shade at it while we've been talking, but, like, that's mostly due probably more to my feelings on how it ends up in, like, the final act. Just the constant arenas in the tower and then the bullet sponge final boss that took me far too long to finish. But the rest of it, like, I enjoyed, like, and I think I adapted really quickly to just like, all right, this wants you to find these orbs, and that's what I'm going to do. And I'm just going to like search the areas and you know, find stuff. And like, that's fun. Like, the platforming is good. Like, the open world area, like, gives you this big kind of arena to kind of move around in. And there's a bunch of different platforming puzzles on the open, you know, the overworld, and then you have those dungeons. So I had a good time with it just up until the end. Like, if you got rid of the arenas in the tower, I think I probably would have come out liking it a lot more. It's not great, but, you know, it was, you know, a fun budget title.
Yeah, which is where, if you look at the Metacritic, that's where most people landed. I think this thing is like around a 64 or 60 or something. It's like that. Like, I love the term swimming in sevens, because you like games that are around a seven, they're not great, but they're pretty, you can have a good time with them. And sometimes the most interesting games are in there. So, I mean, being just below seven, is that sounds about right for this game.
I think I would have liked it more if it was like more of a focused, like, level based kind of thing. Like, the open world didn't really do anything for me. It kind of just felt like padding a lot of times. So I think I would have liked it better if it was more like a traditional stage by stage thing, but that's just me.
Maybe you get this with a tank, but it would have been nice if, like, it didn't even need to be in the air, just like on the ground, being able to maneuver the desert a bit easier with the glide function, like make it last longer. That would have been nice.
Yeah, the structure of this game, it's like a proto Horizon Zero Dawn, because Horizon has a lot of, it's like an open world, but then you find little pockets of essentially these dungeons to explore, and there's lots of missable things in there.
Funny that you say that, Javi, because like I was thinking kind of along the same lines, but in terms of their, like, the enemy design, where it's like Horizon is very much like, you know, dinosaurs and stuff, but like, where it's like these kind of creatures, you know what they are, like, this, that's a wolf or that's a spider, but they're all like these robotic type enemies, which was interesting because, like, they both came out, I think Horizon came out the year after, but, like, so they were both in development. It came out a year after time.
This
Horizon was 2017. Yeah.
Oh my god, that really puts into perspective why people were so, like, down on this game. Like, that's crazy.
Yeah, February 2017. So this was probably like 6 months. 6 months after ReCore was Horizon Zero Dawn.
Horizon to this day still is like one of the best looking games out there. That's crazy. And then ReCore looks like this. Wow,
it's rough because they're not the same, right? Like,
yeah.
Like Horizon is a big budget Sony production, whereas this was like a trio of independent studios that Microsoft was like, yeah, do something for us.
I think if Guerrilla had made ReCore, I would like it more than Horizon. That's my hot take.
I could see that, yeah. I mean, yeah. It would look phenomenal.
It would. Yeah.
And it'd probably play great, too. So.
Mm-hmm.
Gotcha. Yeah, and I guess my closing thoughts on the game is just... I think I fall pretty much in line with Chris. Maybe a little slightly more negative on it, just because to me, through and through, it's an okay game. It has a lot of promise, and I still enjoy the time I spent with it for the most part. But it has a lot of glaring faults. And for me, this is the buggiest game I've ever played. I didn't have anything as just, you know, show-stopping as Paul's. But it would consistently, like, my fast travel ability would just leave. It would just be gone. I'd have to restart the game over just for that to come back. In the tower, I would get through all the waves, and then nothing would happen. I would just be standing there. Either there's an enemy that spawned somewhere far off, so I couldn't kill it, or the game just forgot to spawn the next bit, or like, sort of the trigger didn't happen. Across the board, I would have, like, when you'd pull out the core, sometimes it would freak out, and, like, it would pull it out, and then pull it out, and then pull it out, and then it's like, yeah, you still got one core from it, but they sort of played the animation a couple times, and like, the camera would freak out. Yeah, like, apparently. And so it's just... It's just one of those things where it's like, you know, would another year in the oven have helped this game? I don't know. I mean, yeah, sure. It would have helped the game. Yeah, that's let me backtrack a bit. Yes, it would have helped this game. Would it have solved all of its issues? I don't think so. I think, you know, they did need a much bigger budget to go to hit what they're trying to do here. And maybe there's some core design issues that I guess for me personally just didn't gel well. That being said, I would have been excited for a sequel in the same way that, like, now, you know, I'm slowly playing through Psychonauts 2, and it's a fantastic, like, visually, oh my god, that's amazing. Just like seeing it, it's coming straight off of Psychonauts 1. It's just such a breath of fresh air on that front, and I feel like I know what they were going for the first time around. And, yeah. And even more so than that, like, they've tweaked the controls just enough to make it, you know, like, more palatable to me. I feel like I'm able to do what I'm trying to do in the game a lot easier, and I'm able to manage my powers a lot better, and the camera's not freaking out on me. And so to have something similar like that for this game would have been a welcome, but I also think this game wasn't exactly a Psychonauts. It's not anything that anyone's going to refer, you know, be asking for in 10 years and wondering, like, hey, is this going to show up at, like, Microsoft's conference? Like, no one cares anymore.
That's too bad. Like, and I wonder what, well, I guess it comes down to Tim Schafer's writing, right? I think that's what really captured the hearts of the big Psychonauts fans. So there's none of that here.
No.
Yeah, nobody is begging for the further adventures of Jewel and her right. robot dog.
Right. It's because the dog's I freaky. Like Mac
I like Mac's personality. Like, his design was, yeah, I mean, it looked like a dog, kind of, but not great. But, like, he just seems so excited and so, like, because like, everything is in all caps, like, for all the robots, but everything about what he says, like, he asked him to do something. He's like, sure, I can. It's like, he's like a dumb, like, excited dog, and it's just perfect.
All right, so any closing thoughts on this game? I mean, I know you already gave yours, Marcus, but...
It's going to be forgotten, which is kind of sad for any game. It's kind of cool that we kind of resurrected it just for this show, or at least took another look at it. I mean, it's, I would say that the critics were pretty dead on with it. It's got some issues. It's very much a budget title. It's good, not great. But I enjoy it for what it is. I think there are much worse games out there. I would like another game like it. I like these kinds of games.
Yeah. Doesn't necessarily have to be a sequel to this, but Microsoft should, you know, fund more weird shit like this, where it's like, you know, modern platforming or whatever.
I mean, I do remember vividly watching E3 and the first trailer for ReCore played. Actually, it gives me the same, like, we had the same reaction. I remember watching it with Rachel, and we were both like, "Ooh, that looks cool. Yeah, okay, I could get behind that." And we had the same reaction to the trailer for Control when that was shown at E3, where it's like, "Whoa, look at that. Okay." So, like, I think the concept is fresh, and I think that, like you said, Chris, more developers should invest in fresh ideas that are like you get a look at what they're going for, and your imagination runs wild, and you're like, okay, I could get into that. I'm excited for that. I think that we see too many games these days where it's like, I know exactly what that is. We've seen it a million times, or it's a sequel and we know what it is. We just did the Sony or the PlayStation event, right? And while everybody's gushing about how hype it was and everything, like, yeah, there were some exciting announcements, but for the most part, all of those games are games that are sequels to stuff. Like, they're known quantities. We know what they're going to be. More new, fresh, exciting concepts.
What I came out of that event like most excited for was like the Forspoken.
Oh yeah, that looks cool.
And the one that kind of looked like Bayonetta crossed with Devil May Cry.
Yeah, something Eve, Project Eve.
Yeah, like that's new. Like, they're new things. Like, yes, I bet Spider-Man 2 and Wolverine are gonna be awesome. God of War is gonna be really cool. Yeah. But like, those are the games that, like, that's what makes me kind of excited, because they're not known quantities. Like, what are these things gonna be?
Yep.
Yeah, I definitely wouldn't mind seeing another title from these developers again. I just don't know if the stars are going to align on that front.
You got Flight Simulator.
Yep.
They've been hard at work.
Yeah, and I mean, that's Asobo. So they did Plague Tale. They have another. They have the second Plague Tale coming.
Hey, Flight Simulator and Plague Tale are much better games, so like, they've definitely grown, I think.
And I'm not sure what Armature's been up to.
Not much. Their last game, it was like Dragon Crown or Dragons and Crowns, got canceled because it was a gacha game.
I have a lot of love in my heart for Mega Man, but maybe Inafune needs to back off. his last couple ideas haven't been great, so.
Oh, sorry, I confused him with the other studio that worked on us. They more recently did the Bayonetta and Vanquish 10th anniversary remake.
Okay. Nice. A re-release. So, I wonder what that entails. Is it just like making sure that the new consoles can, you know, play nice with the existing code, because it's the same games. They didn't create new assets at all. But anyway,
and evidently Concept was bought by Level 5 shortly after ReCore came out. So Level 5's not bad.
Okay. So ReCore was after Mighty No. 9.
It's, yeah, Mighty No. 9 was year. 2014. Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, Mighty No. 9 was 2016. I think it probably, the Kickstarter was probably well before then, but.
So these games were made in tandem.
Yeah, I think Concept is like one of the, like, they're like the idea studio, or at the time, like, they were the ones coming up with it. But kind of like what, what's that, the Castlevania guy?
Yeah.
Bloodstained.
Yeah,
my brain keeps saying Itagaki, but that's a Ninja Gaiden.
I think like he kind of comes up with the concept, and that's what his studio does, and then like they have somebody else kind of make the stuff for them.
Go ahead.
I was just gonna say, from what I read, and often they basically came up with the concept of ReCore, but the other one, Armature, did most of the actual development.
Mm-hmm.
That makes sense.
They're apparently working on something called Where the Heart Leads. Has anyone heard of that for PlayStation?
Uh-uh.
Yeah. Well, good luck, Armature.
Yeah. I hope you get to make more weird Metroid type games in the future.
What if Where the Heart Leads is a ReCore sequel?
It leads to ReCore?
Yeah. Where the Core Leads.
The ReCore cinematic universe.
Hell yeah.
All right. I mean, so
you'll build that out, right?
It'll be called The Family Jewels. Really had to stretch for that one.
Oh wow. No. Okay. So yeah, I think on that note, we're gonna go ahead and end this episode of VG Chat. Thanks everybody for listening, and I hope everybody has a lovely day. Bye.
Bye.